Senator Dick Durbin's on the phone. Senator, morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I called my wife in Springfield this morning. I'm out in Washington. She said she had a heck of a storm last night. I don't know if you guys got hit with
No, a little bit of that went to our north, thankfully, here. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was doing homework, you know, for the Wednesday program Tuesday afternoon, and suddenly all my gear started beeping with an alert, and the alert just came up that FBI Director Comey fired by President Trump effective immediately. And I thought, well, something the Democrats and Republicans can finally agree on. I couldn't have been more wrong, apparently.
Well, of course, that's the spin some are taking, but I'll tell you how I see it. I voted for Comey when he was up 3 years ago, thought he was a good choice for FBI, didn't care for the way he handled the issues at the close of the presidential campaign at all, and, you know, don't have the highest level of confidence in him. The one thing I thought, well, at least he is pursuing this investigation about the Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election. The FBI ought to be on that case. Well, it turns out that his investigation may have gotten a little too close for comfort with the White House. They fired him. I just hope the investigation continues. I want to know who, if anybody, and I underline if anybody, was involved in helping the Russians try to change our election.
The interesting thing about this, though, is you had Democrats who said they wanted him fired because of the Russian connection. Then they had other Democrats that now don't want him fired because of the Russian connection. You understand the American people are a little confused when you've got Schumer, the DNC, John Podesta, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I can literally continue down the list of Democrats that were calling for him to be fired, and then when he's fired, everybody says, worst thing ever.
Well, I didn't personally call for it, but others did. And let me try to put the confusion level at a higher stage. At the same time, the president, Donald Trump, is saying, I fired him for the terrible way he treated Hillary Clinton in the presidential campaign. Remember, the motto of the Trump campaign was lock her up. And there's all kinds of news clips of the president saying, you know, Comey was wrong in not indicting her, and he was right in saying the investigation should continue. So to say that the president's sensitivity about the way Hillary Clinton was treated that led to the dismissal of Comey is a little hard to take, too. So I can understand the confusion.
It was interesting because I had seen you doing a report of being a small clip, I think it was on CNN, saying, look, this is a constitutional issue. So I looked up and saw numerous reports that Congressional Research Services says there are no statutory conditions on presidential authority to remove an FBI director. So is it constitutional?
I think it definitely is. There is no question the president has the authority to remove many people, including the director of the FBI. He serves at the pleasure of the president. But the constitutional issue goes to something much more profound and deeper. It was back in the Watergate era, when Richard Nixon, who was being investigated because of the Watergate break-in and cover-up, decided he wanted to fire the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox. He called his attorney general, Elliot Richardson, and said, fire him. Richardson said, I won't, and I resign. He called Ruckelshaus, who was number two at the agency, Department of Justice, said, fire him. He said, I won't, and he resigned. And then he called the next person in line, whose name happened to be Robert Bork, who fired Archibald Cox. Why did Nixon do it? Because the investigation on Watergate was getting too close to home, and he thought if he stopped the investigation, people would leave him alone. Thank goodness that didn't happen. Now fast forward 40 years. Here we are investigating the Russian involvement in our presidential election and whether, if anybody, was involved in dealing with the Trump campaign and the Russians. I don't know if they were or not. That's what the investigation's all about. But as Comey gets closer and closer and asks for more resources for the investigation, they fire him. Is that constitutional? Absolutely. What it says is every president, regardless of political party, has to be subject to obeying the laws of the land. And if they break the laws of the land, they've got to pay a price.
But the people who come into this country break the law of the land illegally all the time, and we don't seem to have a problem with that. I mean, isn't there a standard?
They do pay a price, and they will in the future under any proposal. I mean, the fact that they're undocumented in America means that they are denied basic things that American citizens and legal residents obtain, and they're subject to deportation, particularly if they do anything stupid like break the law. And so from that point of view, to say that they're scot-free is not quite true.
Okay. See, because I find that interesting, because, see, I've seen this. This is conflicting to me, and I think this is why people are really edgy, Senator. You have Lisa Madigan, suing, saying, look, they're breaking the law when it comes to EPA, and then the same day saying, look, we can have sanctuary cities for people to come to this country illegally. 2 days on one single day, you have a press release says, we don't like the way Washington is implementing federal law, and then you have another one says, we don't want to observe federal law. And I think that confusion drives people to the point of being pretty edgy.
Well, you can't equate all of these things. You just cannot do it. If you went to the police departments in communities where they have Hispanic populations, they're going to tell you, for goodness sakes, we cannot be immigration agents, too. We got a big job keeping people safe, stopping drugs from coming in the community, dealing with the opioid crisis, trying to stop the misuse of guns, for example. Police have their hands full. And they'll also tell you, you know, there are times when we need to get into that Hispanic community and get their cooperation to find the bad guys. So if you ask us to be immigration officials, that isn't our job. And that's what sanctuary cities is all about. If the federal agents believe that they need to do more when it comes to immigration enforcement, that's their job. That's their budget. That's what they should do. But to put that burden on the local sheriff or the local police department, I agree with Lisa Madigan. I think that goes too far.
You know, I didn't want to get into immigration, but really what I want to talk about was my wallet, our wallet, the Affordable Care Act. You know, no matter who was elected president, somebody had to fix the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Amen.
Somebody
Amen.
Had to do it. So where should we have gone?
Well, what we didn't do was sit down on a bipartisan basis and say what needs to be fixed. The choice on the other side was repeal. We're walking away from it. It's a disaster. Get rid of Obamacare. You heard that over and over again. Well, take a look what Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act has done for Illinois. We've reduced the number of uninsured people in our state by half. Okay? We also have a situation now where the hospitals in downstate Illinois, southern Illinois, they just came to see me this week and said what the House did is a disaster for us. If the House version of this passes, we will cut Medicaid coverage, which means more and more people showing up in hospitals in southern Illinois and all across the state and not paying for their services. What happens? Well, their costs get passed on to the rest of us. And you think, that isn't fair. It's better to have these folks with their own health insurance avoiding, you know, critical illnesses and acute care that costs so darn much money. So what we need is starting in the Senate, where two Republican senators, Cassidy of Louisiana, Collins of Maine, have sat down and said, we're not for repeal, we're for replace. Not for repeal, we're for repair. Let's figure out what we can do with this system that makes it fair. I want to be part of that conversation.
I mean, it really looks like everything when you look at it. Low enrollment. We have higher costs. We have higher deductibles. We have higher premiums. I mean, very often I've been wondering, how does the fact that something costs too much and we pay more for it fix the fact that it costs too much?
But let me tell you, if you go back to the time before the Affordable Care Act, the cost of health care was going up dramatically every single year.
But single digits.
And employers were calling me and saying, we have one company that's going to write insurance for us, and they just raised our premiums 20%. I mean, we can't act like this is something new. The second thing is, if you ask Blue Cross Blue Shield, the biggest insurer in Illinois, what's driving costs, you know what it is? It's pharmaceuticals. The cost of drugs now is higher for Blue Cross Blue Shield in Illinois than the cost of inpatient hospital care. Why? Hedge funds are buying the rights to drugs and double and triple the cost overnight. It has nothing to do with cost. It has to do with profits and greed. So let's look at the real drivers here. The second thing is the premiums are going up most on individuals. If you get your insurance through your place of work or through Medicaid, it's not that bad. But when it comes to the individuals trying to buy in the market, it's terrible. I don't disagree with you on that.
Yep.
We've got to find a way to address that problem. But simply throwing a million people off of health insurance coverage, which is what the Republican plan would have done in the House of Representatives, isn't the answer. There are just people who are still going to get sick, still show up at the hospital, and we're going to have to absorb their cost. That isn't the answer.
And then we had Aetna saying they're dropping out, and they're completely out as of yesterday. So, I mean,
They were in 15 states. They're down to 4. They're clearly getting out of the business. I think we ought to have a public option. Medicare works pretty well. I ought to ask your listeners what they think of Medicare. Most of them say, oh, I'm against government insurance, but I like Medicare. Guess what? It's a government program, and it works pretty darn well for 50 million Americans. We ought to have a Medicare-type offering of a public option all across Illinois and America. People can decide. You want to go with a private health insurance company? It's your decision. You want to go with the Medicare-type plan? Your decision. I think it'll be cost-effective.
One of these items that kind of scared me was the Office of Actuary of the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services. It projected Obamacare will result in an additional $274 billion in administrative costs alone from 2014 to 2022.
I've never heard that, but I will tell you that a similar office came up and said Obamacare has bought four more years of solvency for Medicare, and the Republican plan that passed last week in the U.S. House is going to take away those 4 years. So people on Medicare who think this is somebody else's problem, what the decision that's being made by the House of Representatives doesn't help.
You know, before I got to let you go, because I know we only had you for a limited time, and I know you're very busy. By the way, that rule that was placed in yesterday, if the Senate is in session more than 2 hours, all committees must stop their activities. Is that rule still in effect from yesterday afternoon?
It's been that rule has been in effect since I've been elected to this place. If you want to meet for more than 2 hours, you need the consent of the Senate.
Okay.
And we have seen Republican leaders in the past object. Yesterday, the Democratic leaders objected. I think by today, we're going to be back down to business as normal, as it should be. What we're trying to do is to move forward on a bipartisan briefing on the circumstances surrounding the dismissal of Comey, to bring in the Attorney General Sessions, as well as Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, for a bipartisan closed-door meeting. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and interesting on this letter, that's new information. Before I let you go, you don't sound like a guy who was in the doctor's office about a week ago.
Well, I feel pretty darn good. 6 weeks ago, I go for my annual physical, and they say, you have something called atrial flutter. I thought, well, my wife has put my heart a flutter for so many years, but what the heck is this? And they said it's an irregular heartbeat, and it's pretty common. So last week they have this catheter deal. They go inside my heart, imagine, and zap some abnormal cells to get my heart back in normal rhythm. And 5 hours later, I was leaving the hospital and headed home. So it's amazing. We live in a world where we have this kind of medical care, but we are all only one diagnosis away from needing good health insurance and the best quality care. And when we start throwing people off of health insurance coverage, think twice. Nobody wants to be in that position. Not me and not your listeners.
And not me, but here's the thing, Senator, and I'm going to be perfectly honest. I myself, $14,000 in taxable income to pay for my insurance. $14,000. And trust me, I don't make that much, sir. And when it gets right down...
Well, mine's $12,000.
Just 12?
For my share. My employer matches it here, as most employers do. And, you know, I'm older than you are, I guess.
Right.
And maybe I should be paying more. It's too darned expensive. That's why I think the Medicare option here might be a more affordable option. We ought to at least have that chance.
Yeah, when you pay 14, but my mortgage payment is 4, I'm start saying, what, I can have a nicer house, I can have that, and still pay for health care, as opposed to paying for health care I can't use. This is not new. You know this.
You're only one diagnosis or one accident away from having a $200,000 medical bill that could just take away everything you own. We don't want to leave people out there with no coverage, for goodness sakes. You know, this could happen to anybody. I haven't gotten my bill yet from what they did to straighten and give me a heart tune-up here. It's going to be pretty hefty.
Yep.
The insurance is going to pick up most of it, and it isn't going to come out of my savings. That was the biggest driver for people filing bankruptcy in the United States. Medical bills. Unanticipated medical bills. So we've got to find a way to make sure everybody has health insurance. It's too expensive. Let's find a way to bring down the cost. But cutting off health insurance for 1 million people in Illinois, how can that be the solution?
Senator Dick